Shall we pray? Almighty God, our Father, here we are again. Said thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, all that you will do in days to come. Thank you for this wonderful privilege, O God, coming to your presence and to stand before your people one more time. Lord, we pray now once again that we do nothing to bring shame upon your church. Nothing to bring shame upon your Son, Jesus Christ. But that all things will be done decently and in order, that praises might be thine. So God, we ask you one more time that you would bring glory and honor to yourself through your own word. For it is in your name and for your sake we pray. Amen. 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 To each of you, my brothers and my sisters, and to these, my preach brethren. Can we get a choir one more hand, please? Amen. Let me say to you, as I say to Zion Hill and just about everywhere I go, that God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I want to once again thank these brothers for allowing me share with them in this preaching aggregation. I'm always thankful unto God for allowing me to be among these investigative, interpreting, and inventive thinking minds of these young folk. And then to be in the presence of these who been around a few years, and to even glean from their wisdom. I thank God for them. Reverend Sibley has already said that we've been hanging out at this service for a number of years. We're in our 27th year now, so that means that I've come to this point at least three times, amen, in this preaching of the Good Friday services. In Luke chapter 23, I want to just read the 46th verse. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Verse 44 opens the scene for us. Dr. Luke records these last words. He said it was about the sixth hour. Yes. And there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. Yes. Jesus now had come to the hill called Calvary, the place of the skull. Pilate, the governor of the region of Samaria and Judea, had washed his hands of him, even though he knew within his heart that he was innocent. Peter, one of his most trusted friends, had abandoned him. His faithful band of disciples had scattered. A mean and inconsiderate crowd. Was torturing him. A filthy, wrongdoing, good for nothing, it seems, was deserving to die, had interceded for him. Jesus had been stripped of all of his clothing. The flesh on his back had been torn and broken by a whip of cat o' nine tails. Blood, my brothers and my sisters, was dripping from his brow, his hands, his back, and his feet. Energy was being drained from him. But Luke says he cries out with a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." My brothers and my sisters, one may surmise that Jesus was saying to the Lord, "Since I came from you, since I was once by your side, I'm returning to you." Or one may think that Jesus is saying, "I'm placing my soul into your hands for safekeeping." One may even think that Jesus is saying, "I'm placing my soul into your hands for you to control." But my brothers and my sisters, after reading this over and over again and doing my little investigative research, I think the words of Jesus goes deeper than this. I believe, as Philip just reminded us, that Jesus is saying, "I commend myself into thy hand for judgment." For you see, nobody else on the face of this green earth could undergo the microscopic examining of God. He is the omniscient one. He holds everything or knows everything from the beginning to the end. He knows our thoughts, the Bible says, even before we think them. No mortal man can stand in his judgment. Well, we can't stand in his judgment, amen, because our skeleton, our closet, has too many skeletons. Not only in our closets, but in the recesses of our mind. So Jesus says, "I commend my life to be by you as a filling sacrifice for the sins of the world." You do know that he died for our sins. John says he is the propitiation for our sins. So he says, "I commend that you judge and examine my principles, my precepts, my practices, and my purity. And I know that you will find that I have been in keeping with thy law." And my brothers and my sisters, Jesus' life have been the epitome of the work spoken by David in Psalms 37, verse 4. I hear him say, "I have delighted myself in the law of your word." Yeah, it has been in your law that I meditated both day and by night. I commend myself to you to judge my practices. During these 30 and 3 long years, not only have I delighted myself in your word, but I have kept your word. My principles and my practices have been ascending or according to your word. What I have preached, I have practiced. Oh, I wish some of us could get that. Yeah, too many of us preach a good word, but we don't live a good word.
Too many of us study and teach a good word, but we don't practice a good word.
What I've preached, I've practiced. Your word has been a lamp unto my feet and a light on my pathway. Then I believe Jesus meant, I commend my life to you to example my purity. Examine my thoughts and the intents of my heart, and you will find that I have always been in keeping of your will. When Jesus said, into thy hands I commend my spirit, he was committing himself to the justice of God. That God would give him, amen, the penalty that belonged to mankind. Seemed like I can hear him say, I know, amen, that you've declared that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I know that you have declared that the wages of sin is death. I know that your justice must be met. So I offer myself to that sacrifice. I offer myself to be subjected to the environments of hell. Ain't you glad today? Yeah, that there was no penalty for Jesus in hell. I heard Martin say it earlier. Amen. For the scripture declares that he that has descended into the lower parts of the earth is the same that ascended from a heaven above, that he might fulfill all things. Ain't you glad? Jesus had no penalty. Amen. No wages to pay for sin. For I hear Peter say, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, he did not sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, we ought to be glad today that long before Jesus was born, the psalmist prophesied in Psalm 16 and 10 that God would not leave him in the hollow of the earth, nor allow his body to decay. I tell us today that Jesus voluntarily gave his life. Yeah, that he might receive the justice of God on your and my behalf. Finally, he commended his life to the Father. Amen. For the Father's joy. Yeah, I heard the scripture say, Isaiah 53, verse 10, somebody already mentioned it, that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yeah, to cause him grief and to make Jesus' soul a sin offering. Oh, but when I think of it, Jesus always pleased and brought joy to the Father. Yeah, you remember when he was baptized? John declares for us at the Jordan River. Amen. The record is that when Jesus came up out of the water, God the Father spoke from the lofty courts of heaven and declared, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You remember again in Matthew 17, Jesus takes his trusted friends. Yeah, and they ascend, amen, on a high mountain. And with him, as he spoke with Elijah and Moses, the Bible says that a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice out of heaven from the cloud spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In other words, God was saying, he always brings me joy. Oh, I know it may sound strange for the Father to get joy, or it pleased him with the Son's suffering and death. Amen. But before I go to my seat, let me clear it up for us. Ever since Adam's sin in the garden, things have always been out of order. Nature has been out of place. I heard a friend say some time ago, before Adam sinned, snakes didn't bite. Before Adam sinned, lions didn't roar. Paul writes it like this in the book of Romans. Because of sin,
man became unthankful because of sin. They were vain in their imagination because of sin. Their hearts and minds have become darkened because of sin. Man changed God's truth into lie because of sin. Man lust in their own bodies to dishonor their own body. They burn in their lust. Turn one another, men toward one another. One man laying with another man. Help me, somebody. Women laying with women. Doing that which was unseemly. But now, Christ, death on Calvary, brings joy to the Father. All of creation is now being restored and being redeemed. No wonder Jesus said, into thy hand I commend my spirit. But as I go to my seed, I want you to know that his dying brought joy into my soul. He brought a joy that the world cannot give, a joy that the world can't take away. Every now and then, dark clouds will hang over my head. But I thank God for Jesus. When he said, into thy hand, I commend my spirit. A bright light began to shine in my soul. My gray skies began to turn blue. My heavy burdens have now been made light. I tell you this evening, I've got joy. Joy down on the inside. I don't know about you, but ever since Jesus said, into thy hand, I commend my spirit. I've got joy down on the inside. Yes, he's able. He's able to give sight to the blind. He's able to heal the sick. He's able to raise the dead. He's able to bring order out of chaos. He's able. Ain't you glad that same Jesus that hung out on Calvary, that same Jesus that gave his life for you and for me. Yes, they took him down. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. Stayed in the grave all night Friday night. Stayed in the grave all day Saturday. Stayed in the grave all night Saturday night. But early, early, that same Jesus that said, into thy hand I commend my spirit, got up out of that grave. Said, all power is in my hand. Do you love him? Do you love him? I love him. I don't know about you, but I love him. And one of these days, that same Jesus that caught a cloud, went back to heaven, is going to return again. I'm going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Yes. Yes. Can you say yes? Yes. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right?